Thank you, Chair. Let me join others in welcoming you and in offering my delegation's full cooperation during Iraq's presidency. The United States is a strong supporter of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, including the obligation under Article 6 to pursue negotiations in good faith on effective measures relating to cessation of the nuclear arms race at an early date and to nuclear disarmament. We are fully committed to achieving, through a combination of such effective measures, the eventual goal of a more secure world without nuclear weapons. Moreover, we continue to hold fast to our belief that nuclear weapons, for as long as they continue to exist, should only serve defensive purposes, deter aggression, and prevent war and coercion, as stated by the leaders of the five NPT nuclear weapon states on January 3, 2022. We also continue fully to subscribe to the principle those leaders endorsed that a nuclear war cannot be won and must never be fought. The United States has worked consistently since the Cold War to that end, reducing its nuclear arsenal by nearly 90%. Our modernization program is designed to ensure that our deterrent remains safe and reliable. The numbers have not changed. The United States also continues to believe that the path to global zero is best pursued through a persistent but incremental approach. While we have heard calls to map out a precise sequence of benchmarks and timetables, in our view, the path must take into account the overall security environment. There is no real alternative to a step-by-step approach, especially given the current geopolitical environment of growing geopolitical tensions and competition. Chair, unfortunately, and as we all know, current prospects for further nuclear disarmament would appear to be dimming rather than increasing. Things took a dramatic and sudden turn for the worse with Russia's unprovoked full-scale invasion of Ukraine, which was not only a flagrant violation of the UN Charter, but has also raised questions about Russia's ultimate nuclear intentions. Russia's nuclear saber-rattling is not only irresponsible, but seemingly aimed at intimidation. This has been combined with Russia's announced placement of nuclear weapons on the territory of Belarus, recent nuclear exercises held close to the border with Ukraine, and what the United States assesses to be plans to develop a new satellite carrying a nuclear device. Russia is clearly using the threat of nuclear weapons to try to intimidate others from assisting Ukraine in fully exercising its right to self-defense. The other major negative trend we face is the PRC's massive and rapid buildup of its nuclear arsenal at a pace that the United States judges could result in 1,500 PRC nuclear weapons as soon as 2035. I challenge the PRC to explain how such an increase is consistent with NPT Article 6 objectives of ending the arms race, or how this buildup can possibly contribute to elimination of nuclear weapons. Notably, the PRC is the only one of the NPT nuclear weapon states that has not declared a moratorium on the production of fissile material for use in nuclear weapons. While the PRC continues to state that it maintains its arsenal at the minimum size necessary to ensure deterrence, apparently this so-called minimum level is rising without explanation or stated limits. And what about the DPRK's defiance when it comes to pursuing its own nuclear and ballistic buildup, now effectively shielded by Russia in particular, but also the PRC? Or Iran's continued production of uranium enriched up to 60%, maintenance of a stockpile of highly enriched uranium for which it has no credible peaceful purpose, and failure to cooperate with the IAEA in resolving longstanding questions about undeclared nuclear material detected by the agency in several locations. The overall situation begs the question of what is possible at present. Russia seems to think strategic stability discussions can wait out its war against Ukraine. The PRC appears to be suggesting that the world should sit back and wait until it has increased its arsenal to some unspecified level. At a time when dialogue on stability, risk reduction, and arms control is needed more than ever, Russia and China are holding it hostage to other issues. Chair, it is not the United States that is holding up further progress on our disarmament agenda. We continue to urge Russia to return to full implementation of New START. while Russia recently and publicly rejected the U.S. offer to discuss nuclear risk reduction and a post-New START nuclear arms control framework, the United States is keeping the door open to negotiating a follow-on to New START, which expires in February of 2026. That is a tall order, since Russia for quite some time has been working on novel nuclear delivery systems not covered at all by New START, such as nuclear-capable, nuclear-powered cruise missiles and nuclear-powered torpedoes. It is worth noting that New START does not cover Russia's sizable stockpile of non-strategic nuclear weapons. The United States is also interested in engaging with the PRC without any preconditions. Unfortunately, the PRC has declined to meet again and refused to respond to our suggested measures to reduce strategic risks. At present, at least, there are no significant bilateral nuclear arms control talks with Russia or the PRC underway, and this at a moment when technologies such as cyber and AI and new threats in space activity present additional challenges and complexities and for which political commitments and/or legally binding agreements have yet to be negotiated. The United States must also take into account the prospect of dealing with not one, but two peer nuclear adversaries who are increasingly aligned with each other. Russia's cooperation with the DPRK and Iran is also leading to increased risks of nuclear and missile proliferation, not to mention accidents and the potential of future arms racing. Chair, rather than do nothing, the United States is focused on arms control efforts that can proceed in this difficult environment. This includes developing risk reduction measures aimed at mitigating the potential for miscommunications, misunderstandings, and miscalculations in these perilous times that could inadvertently lead to an escalation of tensions and potentially nuclear conflict. We have proposed to undertake such work with Russia and the PRC bilaterally and continue to push for concrete action in this area within the group of the five nuclear weapon states. We have also supported various work on nuclear disarmament verification and creating an environment for nuclear disarmament. Risk reduction is a topic on which the nuclear weapon states do not have all the answers. There is also a role for non-nuclear weapon states in this area. Another immediately available step in this process, one that this body could take, would be to initiate negotiations on a treaty banning production of fissile material for use in nuclear weapons, as the United States has persistently argued for as a means of reducing the risk of a nuclear arms race and a concrete contribution to nuclear disarmament. Chair, in the view of the United States, the keys to unlocking the possibilities for meaningful and measurable progress on nuclear disarmament ultimately reside primarily in the hands of the three nuclear weapon states with the largest nuclear arsenals: the United States, Russia, and the People's Republic of China. Achieving such progress could prove challenging, as the triangular nature of this constellation could easily make balancing interests and reaching understandings more complicated. Nonetheless, unless and until the three of us can better manage our competition and differences through whatever combination of bilateral and multilateral dialogue is needed and possible, the current divisions and therefore the risk of nuclear conflict may not only continue, but might deepen. The United States is committed to doing its part to enable a return to the greater predictability and stability required for enabling renewed progress toward the eventual elimination of all nuclear weapons. We call on Russia and the PRC to join us. Thank you, Chair.